Welcome to the Emotional Curriculum with me, Dr. Sarah Taylor-Whiteway. We often think about the impact of summer holidays on the learning of the students we teach, but have you stopped to think about the impact on their mental health? And what might influence this during their time away from the classroom? In this episode, we talk to Dr. Kelly Morgan, a research fellow from Cardiff University. She talks about her research into the experiences of adolescents during the summer holiday and discusses how differences in level of family deprivation can have an impact on mental health. Kelly, welcome to the Emotional Curriculum. Today we're going to talk about your research which looked at the impact of summer holidays on young people. I wanted to start off just by asking you, what got you interested in this area of research?
So as a public health researcher, we are interested in young people's both physical and mental well-being. And a lot of our work centres around schools-based research, so typical practices of children and how they can kind of influence and shape health and well-being as children are growing. So this piece of research came up as we had evaluated a piece of work around a school holiday programme called the School Holiday Enrichment Programme based in Wales. And that's about providing free meals and free activities to children during the summer holidays. And as part of that, that threw up a lot of questions around children's well-being over the summer holidays. And actually, are there any differences between children from poorer backgrounds compared to more affluent backgrounds, which led to this piece of research?
And you mentioned a project in Wales. Do you know if there are similar summer holiday projects across the rest of the UK?
Yes, so there's both in the UK and kind of across the globe. In the UK, in England, the government have just announced a £1 billion fund, actually, to provide holiday provision and childcare for families. So I know that there are a number of school holiday programmes throughout England, and these typically tend to vary across your areas, whereas in Wales, we have one programme which is being scaled up across the different local authorities. Scotland also have their own provision of free school programmes, but these can look differently depending on the areas and what's provided and who's invited and who's eligible to take part.
Yeah, and I was really interested when I came across your research because educational research focuses so much about what happens in school. It's really interesting to redirect the focus a little bit and think about the impact of when we're not in school. So what has research already told us about the impact of summer holidays and this time off?
So we know that there are many challenges which are faced by low-income families during the summer holidays. So for most families, maybe the summer holidays is about going on holiday and taking some time away. But often for families from poorer backgrounds, that's not possible. So there's increasing costs around trying to find affordable activities. There's also problems facing them around food insecurity. So if children are eligible for free school meals, that's no longer available or wasn't available in the summer holiday period. So families are sometimes having to source up to 10 extra meals per week if children are having that free lunch and breakfast. Also, there's been increasing reports around food insecurity and just keeping the children occupied, so finding ways for them to be engaged over that six-week period when the schools are closed. So we know a lot of those challenges. However, what hasn't been looked at yet is how a child's kind of deprivation background is associated or linked with their mental health and well-being when they return to school.
So before you did your research, a lot of the differences that we see in the experience of summer holiday can really be attributed to poverty and lack of money and the impact of that, like you said, around food. Do we know anything, or is there much research around the loss of learning in the summer holidays?
So in the UK, there's not as much which has been looked at in terms of learning outcomes. So why we are seeing, or if we are seeing, that learning deficit when they return to school. But there hasn't been so much research prior to ours, which looked at the role of experiences. So why are we seeing those differences after the 6-week holiday? That's what we were really interested in.
And so could you tell us a little bit about your study? What were you looking at? What were the questions you were hoping to answer?
So in at Cardiff University, we have a survey which is sent out to children who are in secondary schools. So our survey actually involved just over 103,000 young people, and they were aged 11 to 16 years. And it involved 193 secondary schools across Wales. And the survey was completed by young people in the autumn of 2017. And children completed this after they came back to school following that 6-week summer holiday period. And the survey contains questions around their recent experiences during the summer. So, for example, we asked children, how often did they go to bed hungry? How often were they feeling lonely? How often they spent time with their friends, or how often were they doing physical activities? And we also asked questions then about children's mental health and well-being. So how they've been feeling over the past 2 weeks, for example, and we used validated measures to have a look at this. And alongside that, we also asked children questions so we could gauge their family affluence score. So children were grouped into a low affluence compared to a high affluence score. And that question is based on factors in the household. So, for example, children get asked, do they have their own bedroom? How many computers do they have in their home? Ownership around cars, the makeup of the house, for example.
And why were these the areas that you decided to focus on in the questionnaire?
We know that there are strong links between loneliness and children's mental health, and not only children, adults. There's a strong link there. So these were some of the things we wanted to explore during the summer holidays. And again, with physical activity, we know that the more physical activity children engage in, the better their both physical and mental health are. So we wanted to know, okay, so what happens to how active they are during the summer holiday period?
And so what did you find?
We found that the children from a poorer background were more likely to report poorer mental health and well-being when they returned to school. And what was important about our findings was while a child's family affluence had a link to their mental health, it was what happened in the summer holiday. So it was the experiences that they had in the summer holiday which explained those mental health reports in school. So what was going on in a child's summer holiday, what was available to them, how often they felt lonely, for example, was having a direct impact on how they were feeling returning to school in the autumn.
Okay, so it wasn't just the effects of poverty or low income that led to poorer mental health, but that the low income led to different opportunities, and those lack of opportunities led to poorer mental health for the young people over the summer holidays.
Yeah. So there was a direct link between the background of a child and their mental health, but actually there was an even greater link between their experiences in the summer holidays. So actually, their experiences in summer holidays explained 2/3 of their mental health when they returned to school.
And could you tell from the results what the actual experiences during the summer holidays were that were leading to the poorer mental health?
So of all the experiences measured, loneliness had the strongest link with mental well-being. And it played the greatest role in explaining those differences between the young people from the poorer or richer backgrounds. So, for example, over a fifth of young people from poorer families experience loneliness, at least often or all of the time. And that's more than twice as many of those from wealthier backgrounds.
And could your study pick apart at all what was the link between low income and loneliness?
So the findings may then lend themselves back to what's affordable during the summer holidays. So if families from poorer backgrounds can't afford for their children to take part in activities, then children are typically staying at home. 6 weeks is a long time. And again, coming back to the evidence base that loneliness is linked to poorer mental well-being.
And I know your study didn't look at this area particularly, but I'm interested on your views on social media and staying connected through technology, particularly, I think, with the recent lockdown and how technology's played a big part keeping connected during that. Do you have any thoughts about how that could counteract loneliness?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. And we didn't have those questions at the time to look at social media use. And again, the messages are mixed in terms of increased social media use can also be associated with negative experiences for young people. So we know there's a lot of pressure through social media and around body image and bullying, but those weren't areas which we did explore as part of this research.
And your study did look at time spent with friends, though.
So we found that over a fifth of children from poorer backgrounds experienced being lonely. And then we found that 21% of them reported that they rarely spent time or never with friends. 6 weeks is a long time to be away from your friends. And for some children, going to school perhaps is the opportunity or the only opportunity they do get to be around other people other than their family members or their household.
And I'm wondering if spending time with family is a protective factor there.
So it's difficult to kind of unpick that because we don't know whether families are working families. So even though children who are living in poverty, we know that 72% of these are actually from working families in kind of recent reports from the Child Poverty Action Group. So there are a high number of children in households who perhaps parents are working during the summer holidays.
And of course, your research has taken on even more relevance this year. You can't have a conversation without talking about the impact of coronavirus and not being in schools on young people. So I'm wondering, with what you found from this study, what you think the impact of this long time outside of school might have been for the young people?
Mm-hmm. So it's very likely that the pandemic will have major impacts on young people's both physical and mental well-being. And it's likely that the findings from our study will be exacerbated because now it's not 6 weeks, it's more like months and months. So that's yet to be determined, but it's more than likely that it's having an increasing pressure on families. And with school closures, there's not only impacts on learning opportunities, but if you think about that disruption to friendship groups for even longer, impacts on food provision, and that's without considering any conflicts around the household, any family illnesses, this increasing household pressure that people are experiencing. And these impacts are most likely worsened for individuals from deprived backgrounds. So those who are having to cope with the additional pressures of poverty, which were already there before COVID arrived. So we know from the Welsh data, for example, that deaths from COVID are doubling at the rate in disadvantaged communities. So again, that's having an adverse impact on top of all of the challenges which families were already facing.
Yes, it's a narrative that's come up again and again, isn't it? It's the loneliness and the social isolation that some people or families are feeling during this time. And listening to you, it's just evident that that is probably exacerbated in lower income families. So we're coming up to a holiday, a shorter holiday, not a summer holiday now. But are there things you think that schools can be doing themselves before the summer holidays to address some of these disadvantages?
So I think schools already have increasing pressures and responsibilities put upon them for term time. So let alone thinking about the times when the teachers are taking their well-deserved and well-needed rest as well. But leading up to the summer holidays, schools could start to look at what opportunities there are in the communities, and that may help signpost the young people and the families themselves to, I guess, wider opportunities to engage within the community, making families aware of perhaps the food banks and the free food provision that is available. Because often there's a stigma associated with being given the free food, and often it's not taken up by those who are eligible. So perhaps breaking down some of those barriers to ensure that people are accessing what they need over that 6 weeks. And I know a lot of schools are engaging with the school holiday provision. So just seeing what's possible at schools. And schools will need to make pretty different decisions at the local level. So linking up with their communities and acknowledging that one size approach won't fit all. So working out what's best for their school and speaking to the young people. So speaking to the young people before the school holidays, engaging with them, working out how they're feeling, talking to them, and perhaps listening to see what they would like to happen, and then working out if that's possible.
And what about sharing this research with young people? How much do you think we can help educate them so that they can protect themselves against some of the things that might impact on their mental health over the holidays?
It's vitally important that schools and the young people have that dialogue, and it's not just the kind of teacher-student role. There's going to be a greater need to support physical and mental well-being going forward. And I think helping children to understand, so why are friendships important? Why is the social contact important? Why is it important to be active, for example? Thinking about their nutrition and what they're eating. So there is a large part about educating young people, but there's only so much education one can give. It's more about breaking down the barriers to enable them to maintain friendship groups.
And you mentioned at the beginning the programmes over the summer holiday that the government's putting in place and funding. Do you think these programmes are going far enough to break down the barriers that you've spoken about?
So programmes are definitely going some way to helping these families in need. And they're doing fantastic activities. Again, they're providing the free food. There's opportunities for children to get together. And quite often the programs are based within schools. So it's keeping that contact between even some of the staff and that familiar environment. However, due to funding, it's not universally available. So there may well be children who really need these programs who aren't having access to the programs. Because we know a lot of the children, even with free school meals, there are children who aren't eligible but are just as much in need of those meals as those who are eligible. So there's a fine line between who's receiving these programs and not. And also to acknowledge that the programs also provide that extra space for parents. So for parents to have time, whether it be for themselves or to enable them to work, because often a problem can be around childcare as well.
And do you think there's anything that teachers and staff in school can do once children and young people return from the summer holidays to address these gaps and these differences in mental health and inequality?
I think it's important for staff to recognise, and I'm sure most of them do, that children may well have had these different experiences. And for everyone, it's not a great experience having that time off school. So just to be mindful of that, and it may well take the children a little bit longer to settle back into their school routine.
So it's really just being aware of it, acknowledging it, and making adjustments for that.
Yeah, so I think it's just being sensitive to that.
And so if there's one thing you would like teachers and people working in schools to take from this discussion, what would it be?
I think it would be to be proactive earlier on in the term, perhaps, and to seek out communities, third sector organisations, to see what's available. And even taking that step may uncover opportunities for children and young people to connect.
So it's really just trying to use what is out there and setting up those links and being aware of the impact of that 6 week break. Kelly, thank you so much for talking today.
Brilliant, thank you so much. Lovely to speak to you.
And thank you for listening. You can find out more about what we've discussed in the podcast description. If you like this episode, then please do subscribe, and you can follow us on Twitter at emcurriculum. You can email us at theemotionalcurriculum@gmail.com. See you soon.